Please be seated. Right, where are the brave ones?
Has any children thought about what we said before the worship? Or have you all forgotten? You've thought to them. Well, come and sit by you.
So what two you thought of?
That would be helpful, wouldn't it? I'm on now. Let's turn this one on. Okay, first of all, tell everybody your name.
Benjamin.
Hello, Benjamin. So, what do you really, really like about church?
The children's group on the carpet.
The children's group on the carpet. Shall we go on the carpet? Because we haven't got... I don't mind, we can go on the carpet. Would you feel better on the carpet? Okay. Okay, what don't you like about church?
The football afterwards.
You don't like the football? That's not compulsory. You don't have to have the football afterwards.
He makes me.
He makes?
You do. I still play football.
Do you like the football afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay, you like the football afterwards. Oh, that's good. Okay, so church of the future. Would it be all football? Would there be anything else in it? What do you really want to see? Football before, during and after church?
Biscuits.
You like the bit afterwards with the coffee and the biscuits. I like that bit too. I want to tell you, we're talking about family. And you know, family can be so disappointing sometimes. And it's not necessarily anybody's fault. It's just the way we are. And church family can be really disappointing. But normally when we rehearse, Karen, bless her, makes us all a cup of coffee, and she's not here today. So we were rehearsing, and I was thinking, looking at the time, what's the matter with this rehearsal? Why isn't it going well? That's because Karen wasn't there to make the coffee. So it just goes to show what you think might be an unimportant part of your church membership, your church serving, is actually really, really, really important. And I think that counts for any age. I think whether you come to church as an old person or you come to church as a young person, never forget what you have to offer, just being you. Anybody else want to say what they love about church, hate about church? Any brave people? Brave people. I'm looking for a brave child. Anybody? Okay. We can segue into this. It's Cap Sunday today, and I am the centre manager, but that actually doesn't mean anything, really. It wouldn't happen unless a whole team of us from this church were involved. And look, there's a team over there. They're all sitting together. And Emad, you're the prayer leader, so you're part of that team too. So anyway, we're going to ask Paula, and I'm going to ask Nigel, who've been in from the start, about their best and worst experiences with CAP. Nigel's managed to break his ankle, so he's going to lean against the lectern. Yeah, come up here. Paula as well, you come up here too. So I wanted to introduce you to the CAP family. There's Liz, she deals with our PR and also got a really important job with Red to Green as well. And Terry, he worships at the cathedral, so he's really slumming it today. He's slumming it with the... It's really good to see you, Terry. And Terry has brought so much wisdom into the leadership. He's helped with the visits. He's always a calming voice when we need one. So we're really blessed to have Terry and Liz on the team as well. Okay, Paula.
Well, I prepared nothing. Nigel's done all this.
Great. All right, just off the bat then. Best thing about working with Kat.
Best thing about working with CAP is taking the privilege of taking Jesus into people's homes.
Amen. I'd agree with that. Yeah. And the worst thing with working CAP, don't say me.
The worst thing is when we have cancellations and it means that we then can't see people that really need to see us, I would say.
It's frustrating. Yeah.
Frustrating.
There are frustrations.
Yeah, frustrations. So it's nothing bad about working for CAP. You know, it's exciting to be part of a team where we can take Jesus in and, you know, really help people in them. Who find themselves in financial bondage. So, you know, on the whole, it's a real privilege to work.
And hopes for the future?
Hopes for the future, I would say, is for the team to grow. You know, we've got lots of positions that aren't being filled at the moment, and the visit team could always do with new members. And really to be able to add different things onto the debt centre, like life skills maybe, just to really sort of see us grow, I would say.
Okay. On that point, just as Karen was missing this morning for a really, really vital job, we have two people missing in our CAP team at the moment that would have a really, really vital job. And I'm praying that the Lord will call someone perhaps here today into these positions, and I'll just explain them briefly. The first one is financial. We're on a three-year plan, and we're sort of halfway through the three-year plan, and we're really thinking, okay, what happens after the three-year plan? Several churches in the area have committed to 3 years, but of course, when that 3 years up, they haven't committed past those 3 years. So we're now financially at a point where we have to say to all the churches, are you going to support us for another 3 years? And we know some of them are going to say no. So we need to get regular income. The income that you give individually is fantastic, don't get me wrong, but we need a financial person who's able to complete trust applications for outside bodies, for charities that give grants to organisations such as a local CAP presence, so that we can secure funding to go on. And that's probably about 6 hours per week. It would suit a retired teacher, I'm told, because they are very good at knowing when things are right or wrong, or and can make those applications. So that's a financial position that's really important. Secondary, we have someone to manage our blessings and events. We have so many. We have about 40 clients at the moment, all with children. Some, or not all with children, but many with children. And they all have birthdays. And one of the parts of the team is we'd like to bless those clients on their birthdays with something. But that needs organisation. That needs someone who is confident, who can think what good presents might be for particular clients. And events. We also would like to put on more events than we're doing at the moment. We have an evangelistic event that we're trying to organise for the 31st of January next year. And we'd love someone to just... I mean, I'm hopeless at organising. I really am. It's not my thing. And, you know, I can think big picture, but I can't think detail. And we need someone who would come in, just take the reins and say, yeah, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do, we need to do this, we need to do this. And make sure someone gets it done. So that's a blessings and events manager. Again, it's probably 6 hours a week. It's all voluntary at the moment. If the financial person gets all this funding from local charities, you know, we'd like to pay people, we really would. But those are the two positions. Those are the two sort of family members we're after at the moment. I want to go on to Nigel because he's bloating his leg. And he's written 10 pages of notes. So he can do the CAP talk. In fact, I think that's going to get scheduled out.
What do you want to do first?
Whatever you like. What have you got prepared? Worst bit of work. Let's start with the worst with you.
I suppose the worst bit, is actually having a need for Christians Against Poverty in this day and age. You know, that's probably the worst bit. But... as Paula said, we'd like to have more resources and more team members to take this out. I'd like to have more time to do client visits, which I think I might do as time goes on, to give me a bit of a wake-up call. A life skills course to help these clients, just empower them to get out of where they are, give them a hand to stuff we take for granted. You know, they've been kicked so hard for whatever reason that it's in a way that's the worst, but then there's the best bit of being able to help them. I suppose I'm jumping ahead there to the best bits. Sort of every negative has got a couple of positives, really. So more team members to arrange events, like John was saying as well. So basically what Paul and John have just said, I won't.
Can you tell us something about the other bits you do? Because although we've got a debt centre, we also run money courses. Terry helps in the money course. Liz has helped with a student money course very recently. What else do we do?
Yeah, the best bit about it is working with the cathedral, working with the lighthouse, and working with St Mary's. Those church is working with. The team is made up of different people that bring so many different thoughts, ideas and faith angles to the team. But I'm also a money coach, which isn't as glamorous as it sounds. It's basically working with the Christians Against Poverty team here and resources from Bradford, from head office, to deliver a course on budgeting. That's that anybody can attend. Doesn't matter. I've done two courses. And the great thing about it, we introduce prayer onto those courses. So we might have 4 people, we might have 12. But they come in, sit down, have a good chat, coffee, icebreakers, and we pray. And when I pray, it's fantastic, because you really get a feeling that you're inviting God onto this course at the same time. You know, it's over 3 weeks, it's about 6 hours, a bit of homework, but you feel at the end you've sown a seed in these people's lives to try and manage what they have, money-wise, and also just touch them with a love of God, really. You're just taking that Jesus' word to them. I'm a visit team member, along with Paula. Paula's done a lot more than I have. but basically, we help John. I think if you cut John in half, he's got Christians Against Poverty written right through it, because he's so, despite what he says, he's so driven, so disciplined, and so on it with getting all the information together when we go and see these clients. So I go with John on the client visits. I'm there to help John with paperwork and to listen and to pray with the clients. It is quite an honour to be invited into these people's homes, lives, and gain their trust. Sit with them and listen, and then pray with them. And most of them are happy to pray, aren't they? They really are, and that's great. You know, it really is. That's an understatement. Great. It's so powerful to be able to pray with these clients, no matter what they've been through, helping them to see a way out of debt and its boundaries and its restrictions and the mess it brings, and helping them understand they have a future and God loves them no matter what has happened. We don't judge them. Nobody's going to judge them on the CAP team. I also offer support for clients, which is a great way of practical help. I think we delivered a washing machine to a family in need, and that was fun and games.
You've been to court as well, haven't you?
No, Paula went to court.
Oh, Paula went to court.
Do you want to say about that?
Yeah, a couple of clients just needed a hand and a lift, really, to get to court for various reasons. They couldn't really move beyond their situation without this, so it's just offering a hand every now and then, you know, just outside the box, really. Just if you're available. Yeah, I went down to the job centre this week as well to talk about the rollout of the universal credits. So, you know, there's lots of spin-offs that can happen that we can really sort of help our clients with.
But the interest as well. When you were at court, didn't you meet an ex-policeman? But you spread the word. You know, he was really interested in CAP and why you were there, and the word, the ripple effect, it just spreads out. So delivering a washing machine. I gave a guy a lift to a job centre because he needed to get in Cambridge. He needed to get things sorted out for his benefits and get back on to work, and he couldn't get there. And it was great to be able to take him, had a good half hour chat in the van on the way and on the way home. So it's just getting alongside these clients. That's the most important thing.
I forgot to mention that I think when we're on the visits, you know, the most important thing is prayer, as we keep saying. And I'd like to just say thank you to Ahmed as well, you know, for leading our prayer team. You know, that is the most essential thing, really. And just like to ask you all to remember us in your prayers, please. It's essential.
Prayer is essential. And let's do that now before we segue into the next part of the service. Father, I just want to pray for our CAP team and thank you for each member of it. And Father, we pray that under your hand it would grow. Father, I just pray for you to be working in the hearts of individuals who can play a part and transform our team and make our team grow, because you have inspired and you have gifted people for particular tasks. We recognise that each one of us individually can't stand. We can't do this work on our own. But we thank you. You put us in families. You give us fellowship to make this happen together. And we just bless you for each person here. Pray that you would be with us as we seek to move forward with you. Just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Let's give our CAP team a clap, because they're brilliant. And please, please let me know if you want to be part of that team. You'll be very, very welcome in any way. Prayer. We're going to be talking about giving later. I'm 5 minutes late, so I might cut some of this out. Let's see. I've got to pull this on. Here we go. This is the official CAP Sunday talk. I've introduced myself. Okay, here we go. I'd like to start by introducing you to Stuart, who, following an accident, was left severely immobile and unable to work. Debts mounted, snatching Stuart's hope and leaving him searching through supermarket bins for food. That's not uncommon. I have heard that more than once from clients that we've seen personally. And this isn't uncommon, unfortunately, either. At his absolute lowest, he was on the brink of suicide. Right now, 14 million people across in our nation, like Stuart, are living in poverty. Poverty arrives like an illness in the family, setting you into fight mode for a battle you can't win, and draining your life until you have nothing left to give. You have no power to change the situation, and it grinds you down until any flicker of hope you had is completely extinguished. As we'll be finding out during our time together today, Christians Against Poverty works with local churches all over the UK to connect with those broken people who have seen their have been devastated by poverty through debt, unemployment, dependencies and low income. What unique ingredient does CAP have that has changed thousands of lives? What we do as the local church here in Ely, what can we bring? And obviously the answer is hope. Every single person in this country, in your community, who is struggling with debt or poverty desperately needs to hope to walk into their situation. That's why CAP's core message is always hope. It permeates everything we do. As Christians, we are all carriers with hope because Jesus is with us. Hope is with us wherever we go. But our clients' hopelessness is real. They can't help themselves out of debt, break free from their dependence, or get themselves into work after years of unemployment. They feel like there is no way out of their situation. Job 11:18 says this: "You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety." Like CAP, I truly believe that the local church is the hope of the world, a place of safety because we are at the hands and feet of Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate bringer of hope. Today, I'm going to show you how you can join CAP's mission and enable hope to walk into lives where hopelessness has been. There's a bit about understanding of hope, which I'm going to skip. It's talking about Greek words and everything. I don't know Greek, so I don't know why I should pretend to know Greek. But I think hope, we find, for me, hope is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the historical event that brings us real, true hope. Sins forgiven. If Jesus hadn't been raised, he would have had to have paid for his own sins. Because he was the sinless Son of God, he was raised, and in him we find our resurrection. So that's my catch on hope. But we're going to watch a film now. Ollie, this is your big moment. Let's hope that we can do that. Here we go.
Put water, but there's nobody there. Nobody there. I tried. Refinancing, remortgaging. That's where debt started. I had an accident and I slipped 2 discs in my vertebrae. So then I wasn't able to work. I was diagnosed with degenerative disc disorder, lumbar 4 and 5, which means your 2 discs at the bottom just totally disintegrated. I used to have a bed downstairs because obviously I couldn't walk. I'd turn myself on my side, bring my knees to my chest, fall onto the floor, crawl into the downstairs toilet, get myself up that way. It took me about half an hour to go 3 or 4 metres. You go to bed at night crying, praying you don't wake up because you can't cope no more. You're not eating food, you're eating dog food. You know, you're scraping the bins at back of Tesco's to try and find something to eat because you've got nothing. I found it very easily to consider suicide, but it was a form of children. That was the only thing that brought me back from that despair. I can't leave my children without a dad. I was introduced to CAP. A gentleman called Tarek turned up. And that was the very first sign of hope that I had. I gave him all my debt paperwork. We sat there for an hour and a half going through all the paperwork, what debts I've actually got. And he says, let's do it. Don't worry. We are here to help. And I thought, oh, wow, okay. Just that reassurance of somebody being there who's listening. So we'll sit down together, go through what debts I actually have, the list all my debts, send it off to Bradford head office, contacting my debtors for me, and making an offer on my behalf. Now, I know there's no other service out there that does that. Nobody comes out to you and helps you. So at that evening, Terry and Jonathan prayed. I was like, yeah, right, whatever. And I started getting tingling. And then one morning, I didn't think about it. Just got out of bed, walked to the toilet, and I just realised what I'd done. I physically got out of my bed, which I haven't done for 18 years without falling on the floor, and walked to the toilet 3 days after Jonathan laid his hands on me. So, who am I to say? All I know is I know that Jesus has done that. Freely and unheartedly, I says to him, I want to be your disciple. And in the October last year, I was baptised. So I was declared debt-free 6 months ago because of CAP. Oh, the power of that, to be out of debt, to be told you are debt-free, is such a gift. It really is a gift to owe nobody nothing. I mean, it's the first time in my life I've not owed anybody help. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I've never known it, which was fantastic.
Wow, I will never lose the impact of seeing a life transformed when hope walks in. I just want to take this opportunity on behalf of everybody involved in Christians Against Poverty to say a huge thank you to you, our partner churches. Without your faithfulness, without your heart for your local community, or your love of the poor, your generosity, your desire to make sure that the poor are at the top of your agenda, no life will be changed through the work of CAP. If you're running a debt centre, I hope you're inspired to see those clients going debt-free. If you're running a job club or a fresh start or one of our life skills courses, whatever you're doing, whether you're running the courses, whether you're just volunteering, whether you're a support worker, whether you're a giver, whatever you're doing, listen, I want to say thank you. Thank you on behalf of CAP, but more importantly, thank you on behalf of the lives that are transformed as hope walks in. We could not do this without you. Hey, we've a massive journey here in the UK. We want to open new services right across our country in other churches, and we'd ask you that you would consider later on if you would support the wider vision of Christians Against Poverty to reach as many as we can as fast as we can by becoming a regular giver and joining tens of thousands of others that have made Christians Against Poverty possible. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
What an amazing testimony. And there's so much that rings true. We've been so privileged to see, how many was it, debt-free from the seven or eight people? Ten people go debt-free. And two people have committed their lives to Christ and need discipling, need people to look after them. It's so good that, you know, you're a part of that. I'm going to skip to the end of the talk because we're running out of time. And just go through the bit. That's really important. That's important. More than 1,000 people make a personal commitment to Jesus every year through the work of CAP. CAP is a great tool for local church mission. It gives us the opportunity, like no other, to speak to people about Jesus. And that's why I'm involved. It's great sorting people's debt out, and that's a great part of the job, and it's great to come alongside people and help them in a very practical way. But it gives the opportunity for us to speak about Jesus. It's a great tool for mission for the local church, and not just this church. Churches working together in this area. And I want to tell you this story because this is a, you know, the charity ask. £5 a month will bring will bring hope to one new person every month. I don't know if that's true, but yes, it could do. Will bring hope to 3 people every month. We can talk if you want to know the details about how CAP's funded locally and nationally. There's some standing order forms over there that will help cash nationally. They're life changer forms, and at the moment, any pound that you sign up for is going to be match funded by institutional donors. So if you sign up for a standing order for £1, £2 a month, however much it is, an institutional donor will match that, including the gift aid. So that's, you can see me afterwards in the corner for that. But I want to tell you this, £15 a month, I think the average, there's about, I can't remember how many people are giving nationally, it's a lot, 29,000, and 80% of CAT's income is through that source. But I did a talk like this last year at the New Life Church in Boston, and we were chatting to people afterwards, and this is why the money doesn't matter. The most important sign up there was from someone who was unemployed, who wanted to give £5 a month because he knew how important personally the work of CAP was. So I'm not interested really about the amount, but it's the vision that's important and the understanding of why we give, why we want to see this work grow and flourish and succeed. So we're going to pray. We ought to have some music, didn't we, to end? I'm going to be standing over there. You can have a free book if you sign up as well. That's another marketing ploy. No, you can say something. You want to, let's have a please say something.
Say something. I just wanted to say that before I came to faith or had anything to do with church or anything, I really struggled financially. I've spoken to John about it before, and it was through lots of bad living and poor decisions, but it really does take over your whole life, and it can happen to anyone. And basically, like for me, for a long period in my life, I didn't want to open any letters, I didn't want to answer the phone. You know, when you have no money, it takes over everything. You know, when you don't know where you're going to get your next food from or how you're going to get to work or how you're going to fill your car up with petrol or whatever it is just a horrendous feeling. And it can happen to anyone. It's not just people who, you know, who are ill or on the streets. It can happen to anyone in our community. And it makes you feel desperate, you know, and I mean, I'm been so blessed that, you know, to get me out of that situation, Jesus came into my life, and that is absolutely amazing. But these people really need that, and I think, you know, what none of these people, well, what you have all said, it's an absolute privilege, but, you know, they're doing amazing work, because for a lot of these people, they probably see no hope, and for a lot of them, I imagine that they feel that really their life has ended, and to be able to go in there and offer that hope is amazing, you know, and it could happen to any of us. So I'd just like to thank you for all of you that you know who take your time to do that for people, and for the hope that you give them. And you know, I think it's just such a privilege that we can all pray and support them in what they're doing. So thank you.
Thank you. Before you go, can I just ask? You mentioned coming to Jesus was part of that journey out.
Yeah.
How important was knowing Jesus in enabling you to have the discipline to organise your finances?
I wouldn't have done it without that, to be honest, because knowing Jesus then, for me, and I assume it's the same for quite a lot of people who have money issues, a lot of mine was through choices that I was making in my life, so I had to have that sort of, that hope and that heart to know that I could live my life differently. You know, and so that made me make those right choices. And also to be able to just be open with someone, because you have such shame, or I did, and I'm sure a lot of the people that you meet have such shame of how they've got into those situations and don't really want to talk about it. You'll just hide away. Like, I just hid away, and I'm sure lots of people are the same. You don't want to open up because it's really embarrassing, you know, that you have nothing. And, you know, having Jesus in my life meant that I could be honest and truthful to people, and people would listen to me and not judge me, and that was so important, because again, in this world, a lot of people judge us on what we've got, don't they? And when you've got nothing, you feel useless and worthless, and that is not what Christianity is about, is it? So thank you so much.
Thank you. Let's pray with that testimony in mind. Oh Father, you do come to lift up the poor. You have come to lift up the poor. When we feel worthless, when we feel hopeless, when we feel useless, you come with the message that we count to God. And that's the same message for every human being. You see a beauty and a sanctity and a holiness about every person, and a worth in every person, an inestimable worth. Father, we just thank you for how much you love us. And Father, we want to take that news out with very practical help. So bless us as we part now in that mission, that we may glorify you. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.